home for these now almost 10 years. And I want to thank our host family, Brother Gerhardt, his family, his wife, his kids for hosting us. And we enjoyed the fellowship time together and the food together. And really, I know their children enjoyed just being there together there. So it's a tremendous blessing. We've been in Hong Kong now for almost 10 years. December will be 10 years. So we've been in this church. We visited about 11 years ago. My son, we came here. My wife, at that time, she's in the back. There's my wife, Elena. Made you stand. Let folks see you there. All right. My wife there, Elena, will let you see it. And then at that time, we had one. His name is Alex. And now he's 11. And then we had three more. And God's given us three more. And they're all in the Sunday school classes there. They may come in a little bit later. They may not. But their ages are Angela. She's 8. And then our third one, Anthony, he's 5. And then our youngest is Ashley, all A's. And difficult to remember, but I encourage you to pick up a prayer card at the back door there. And remember to pray for our family there and the work in Hong Kong. We're thankful. The Lord, in these 9.5 years, God has allowed us to start a brand new church. And the name of that church is called the Liberty Baptist Church. And it's our English ministry. And then the Lord also allowed us to restart another church, a Chinese church. And the church is called the Gafuk Baptist Church. Ga in the Cantonese means to celebrate. And then Fuk means blessing. So you can say a celebrated blessing Baptist Church, Gafuk Baptist Church. So we're able to restart that church. And both churches are doing very, very well. Numerically, they're doing well. Financially, doing pretty well. Spiritually, doing well. And then with the Chinese church, God has allowed us to operate a Christian preschool. And the preschool is very, very unique. We use the preschool to reach the people in the community. And you have to just imagine this. It's a government-sponsored preschool, and we run it on a Christian curriculum. Amen. And we're doing this in Hong Kong and really a communist country there in China, and there is no restrictions from the government. And what is a blessing is that this past, the past 2 weeks ago, we had Vacation Bible School as part of our preschool curriculum. And it is paid for by the Hong Kong government. And so we're very, very thankful for that. And God is allowing us to have some special doors there. And in Hong Kong, it's a very, very unique place. Hong Kong and the neighboring city, Macau, these are the two cities in mainland China that is actually open to the gospel. And everywhere else in China, it is a closed country. You cannot publicly preach the gospel. But in Hong Kong and in Macau, you can. And Hong Kong's unique. It was a former British colony and given back to China in 1997. And in 1997, China promised 50 years of open rule, meaning they would keep everything the same. So for these past 20 years, it has been very similar. They have not changed many things. And so we still can, in Hong Kong, publicly preach the gospel. We can hand out gospel tracts. We can have church just like you would have church right here in America. So we're thankful for that. And I would encourage you, pray that these doors continue to be open, that we can continue to have outreach to the local community and then reaching these people there. And one of our major goals is to reach them for Christ and then send them back into mainland China so that they can plant more house churches in mainland China. That's one of our strategies there. So pray for us there. The worship hour, we will have a video, and you'll see folks in both churches. And to really thank you for your faithful prayers and support on our behalf in these last about 11 years on deputation and on the field there. So I want to just thank you for your support there. And if we could answer a question, maybe during in between service, definitely come to us and let us know what we can answer and help you with. One thing I'm thankful for your church family, Pastor just mentioned, you just finished Vacation Bible School. And it is a ministry that is time-consuming, and it does take a lot of efforts. But I want to say that the ministry of Vacation Bible School is very, very rewarding. And I was reached through Vacation Bible School. Amen. And many years ago, I was reached through Vacation Bible School and then went to church on the church bus. And my parents are not saved. And they saw church as an opportunity to get the kids out of the house and as a babysitting. And that's really how I got saved and then started going to church and then just continued to go to church. And just really from 13 years old all the way up to college, I went to church on the church bus. And I'm thankful for that ministry, thankful for what you're doing this past week and for the salvations that has taken place. And I look forward to ministering to those families there and reaching those young people. If you would, take your Bibles, please. I have a thought this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, please, if you would take your Bible there in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter number 2. And we'll start with verse number 1 down to verse number 5. And I've met several here this morning. And I think it was Brother Ash, you said, right? He said he'd been to Hong Kong before, back with the Marines. You said that. And I think many churches that I go to, we meet former veterans, and they said, we've been to Hong Kong, maybe in the 70s, 1970s, 1980s, 1990s. And they've been there. And Hong Kong is a unique place in the sense where it is a very small place. They say about 425 square miles, about a little bit bigger than Washington, D.C., but it has over 7.3 million people, a lot of people in a small place, and everything is built up, So when I drove into Temecula, this is foreign country to me. It's foreign, all right? Where I stayed last night, it is foreign. And I'm looking at the rest of the houses, and I don't see anything, but it is foreign. But in that sense, it's very unique because everything is built up, and it is a very expensive place. And one of the main reasons why it's expensive is land is a commodity. There's not much of it. But another reason why is the government controls the land. And what they do is they sell plots of land to private developers. Then they build nice and expensive luxury houses, or what we call flats, which are apartments. And they build maybe 20, 30, 40, maybe 50 stories high buildings. And then in each floor, there's maybe 6, maybe 10, maybe 12 units. And what they do is when they sell it to these developers, they build it. The local people cannot buy it. And the people that are able to buy is foreigners, maybe from mainland China, maybe from United Kingdom, maybe from New Zealand. They buy these properties, and they just drive up the cost. Cost of living goes up. The locals cannot live in those places, so it just makes demand, the supply and demand. Supply is low, demand is high, so it makes it very, very expensive. And I was sharing last night, our family live in an apartment that's about 800 square feet. For the six of us, and we're sharing your kitchen and your living room is about the size of our entire apartment, and then when we're looking at maybe the size of our church where our English service meet is maybe just this left side, my left side there, that whole side there, is about that size there, and I'll say this just to let you get an idea: don't feel sorry for us. All right, don't feel sorry for us. We don't have to clean as much as you have to clean. You got to mow the lawn. We don't have to mow the lawn. You have to do so much. We don't have to do so much. We're thankful for that. All right. But one other thing that's very, very unique about Hong Kong, many, many tourists, they would go to Hong Kong and they go shopping. There's an area in the central part of Hong Kong there they call Kowloon. And in a district in that area, they go shopping. And they nicknamed it Ladies Market. And it's not just for ladies, for men and ladies, children. You can buy many, many things there. You can buy clothes. You can buy sunglasses. You can buy ties. You can buy electronics. And several years ago, somebody bought me a tie just to be a blessing to me. They bought me a tie. They said, oh, we bought this in the Ladies Market just for a gift to you. And I looked at the back. I said, man, this is nice. I felt the quality is nice. I looked at the back. It said Armani. Just a nice tie, Armani. Then I looked at the tag on the inside of the tag, okay? It's not Giorgio Armani. It was Mario Armani. Mario Armani. And the place where you buy these things, it's a lot of what we call counterfeit or knockoffs. And there many ladies go there, and they see sunglasses or shopping bags, purses, and it says Chanel. They get excited, Chanel. But really, when they look closely, it's not one N, it's two N. It's Chanel. Chanel, right? Just an item, again, counterfeit or knockoff. Several months ago, we had a friend come, and he said, I'm a tourist. Take me to the tourist area. So I took him down to this ladies' market, and young people know about this. He wanted to buy those headphones and those Beats. those Beats headphones, are just big headphones, and they plug it into their mobile phone or their iPad and different things there. And for one of those Beats headphones, it's about $100 American, $100 US. So it was expensive. He went there and he saw these headsets and just a slew of them. And they're about $15 US dollars. So you're talking about that's a big discount. So he looked at it. And he looked at the packaging. Looks nice. It looks exact. It looks real. It looks just real. And he opened them. He tried them. He put it in his head, in his iPhone. It worked. So he said, yeah, "I'm gonna buy it for myself. I'll buy it for some of my friends and relatives." So he bought about eight boxes, eight of these Beats headset headphones. And he brought them to the hotel. He's listening on the way from the area where he shopped. Brought to the hotel. It works. And he's real excited, man. It works. I'm gonna bring it home. Give it to my friends. It works. And he went home about 3 weeks later, sent me an email. You can imagine. He said, "You know those Beats headphones that we bought at the ladies' market?" I said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "You know what? They worked for 3 weeks. And after 3 weeks, they don't work anymore." Now, we know a real and authentic product versus a counterfeit product, you know there's a difference. And a lot of times it's the quality, the workmanship. And one lasts and one do not last. Today I want to talk to you about a Christian that lasts. Amen, amen. That stays true to the Lord. That is not a counterfeit. I want you to look at this text with me, 1 Peter chapter number 2. We'll read there, verse number 1 down to verse number 5. Please listen as I read. The Bible says this, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." Verse 5, "Then ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Today I want to use this text and encourage us on the subject of being a true and a real and an authentic believer. Now, you notice in this passage of Scripture, Peter is the writer, and he's writing to believers at that time. They were going through some testings. They were going through, you could say, persecutions and difficulties. If you would go back with me to a chapter, 1 Peter chapter 1 and a verse number 7, the Bible tells us this, "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Now, the believers at that time, they were going through some difficulties. And they're going through some trying of their faith. Now, you would understand, a mature believer, a Christian that lasts, a Christian that may be real, when they go through difficulties, they turn to God, they pray more. They go to God, they come to church more, they pray more, they look to God more. But then there are some, you may be a counterfeit, that may be not very mature. When they go through some difficulties in life, the first thing they do, they blame God. "Why, God, why do you give me this issue or this problem? Why don't people understand me? Why do I have this problem in this circumstance?" And the first thing they do, they blame God. And the second thing they do, they don't come to church anymore. You look at their life, and that's the time where you need to be in church, not go away from church. So today I want to just challenge us today, 1 Peter chapter 2. What is this true and authentic Christian that lasts, that stays faithful to God? I want you to notice with me verse number 2. The Bible says this, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." One that is true, one that's authentic, one that's real, a believer, they would have this desire. They would have a desire to grow. They would have a desire to get to know God more, not less. They want to know more. They would have that appetite to want to hear from the Bible. I'm thankful today that you're in church, in Sunday school, because you want to hear from the Word of God. And then in the worship, you want to hear from the Word of God. You have that desire. And I believe that for a true and an authentic believer, they would have that hunger and that desire to hear from the Bible. Peter gives us this example. Newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. We'll understand this. If you have a child, you understand when they're hungry, they will let you know. Until you satisfy that need, they will let you know. It may be 2, it may be 3 in the morning, but when they're hungry, they will let you know. We've been in America now that the last about, this is about 4 weeks, and we go back in the middle of August, August 23rd, so just a short seven weeks in the States, and we haven't driven a car for a long time. We don't own a car, and we take public transportation often, and we don't drive very often there in Hong Kong. And one of the things that I hear from my kids in the last 3-4 weeks, two things: are we there yet? Are we there yet? And then the second thing is, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I'm thinking, we just ate. I'm hungry. They let me know, I'm hungry. I'm thinking, we just ate a big breakfast. I'm hungry. It's only been an hour and a half. I'm hungry. When they're hungry, they'll let you know because they have that desire. What Peter's telling us, for a believer that grows, right? We have to have that desire for the Word of God. We have to have that hunger to want to know God's Word. God's Word not just encourages us. God's Word not just teaches us. God's Word speaks to us and tells us what direction we should do, how to make decisions in our lives, how to teach and raise our family. God's Word gives us this direction, and we have to have that hunger. I remember God speaking to me. In November of 2004, my wife and I, we went on a missions trip to Hong Kong. And when we came back, a 3 weeks missions trip, and when we came back, I felt God tugging at my heart when it comes to missions and when it comes to going back to Hong Kong. And in my heart, I hear that voice. It could be the Sunday school teacher talking about a message, finances, and somehow Hong Kong comes up in my heart. It could be the preacher talking about sin and working in the church, serving. It could be anything, but I would always sense Hong Kong. And God uses His Word to talk to us, to speak to us. And it really, I tried to run from the Lord. It took me a year, November 2005, before we walked the aisle in our church, surrendered, to publicly say, God is calling us to go to Hong Kong. But through that year, God speaks to our heart. We have to have that desire. God does speak to us. His Word is alive. We need to have that hunger. Many years ago, this lady, a young lady from mainland China, she was born blind. So she had this handicap. And her parents were faithful believers in the church. And they brought her a Bible and in Braille. And they taught her, you know, what you have is a handicap, but don't use it as a handicap. Don't use it as a disability. Right? God gave it to you to show forth, manifest His glory. Encourage the daughter. So the daughter loved the Lord, and she would read her Bible using her fingertips. And she would read it. Her parents would encourage her, love the Lord, read the Bible, read it as often as you can, read the Word of God, love the Word of God, and what you have is not a disability. What is God given to show forth His glory? So she would read it and read it, but after reading it for a long period of time, she developed calluses on her fingertips. She could not read the Bible with her fingertips anymore. She was distraught, started to cry. Could not read the Bible anymore, could not feel it, could not get the sensation of the Braille. So she put her face down onto her Bible, started to weep. But what she found out was her lips are more sensitive than her fingertips. And she said, I can read the Bible using my lips. I wonder today, do we have hunger for the Word of God? Because when we have that hunger, that's how we can grow. I want to encourage you, the pastor preaches, another teacher teaches the Word of God, but what we need to do is search the Scripture on our own. There's often many people, they hear someone teach the Word of God, and they don't know is it right or wrong. They don't know is it true or not. Let's dig into the Bible. Let's have that hunger for the Word of God so that we can grow. The second thought I want to give you as a true believer, authentic believer, look at verse number 4. To whom coming as unto a lively stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And in verse 5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priest. And now Peter gives another example. He uses building materials as an illustration, as an example. What's dear to the Jewish people's heart was in the Old Testament was the temple. And the temple was made with gold. It was made with precious metals. But the temple had limited access to God. Not anybody can walk into the temple and make a sacrifice. Not anybody can just walk inside to the temple. Only the high priest can go and have access to God. Now, he uses that example. He says, now, in the New Testament age, we are that temple. The body, our body now, once we accept Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us. We are the temple of God. We are that lively stone now. We are the precious ones. We are that priesthood. We are the royal priesthood. Here's what I want to challenge us today. As a true and authentic believer, we have to grow. Number two, we ought to glow. Amen. We ought to glow. You say, why do I have to glow? Now, here's the reason why you can glow. Because you are that royal priesthood. You are that living stone. You are precious to God. Now, oftentimes we go through difficulties and we see what's happening in the world. We get a little maybe negative. Maybe we get a little discouraged with what's happening in the world. There's many things that can discourage us in this world. I look at morality or social issues. I haven't been in the country for 3 years. I've drove down the 101 to get into town. I've not seen so many billboards promoting marijuana in the state of California. I've not seen that in 3 years. Is there so much of that? I'm born and raised in San Francisco. We had a friend come from the East Coast to visit us. The second week we're back in the States, and we went to a very popular park, Golden Gate Park. I've not seen a restroom where men and women can share it. I've never experienced it in my life until now. You're able to share one in San Francisco right now. We can look at what's happening in the world and we can get discouraged. We can look at what's happening in my life or in your life and you can be discouraged what's happening or what's not happening. You could be praying about a certain issue and it seems like God is not answering our prayer and we can be discouraged. But my friend, I want to remind us, we are precious to God. We are that lively stone. We are that royal priesthood. We have direct access to God. We can get a hold of God. We can get a hold of his heart. We can get a hold of his ears. We can pray to God. And you are precious. We have to remind ourselves. When we remind ourselves we are precious to God, he loves us. Every ounce of blood that he dropped on Calvary's cross, it was for us and it was worth it all to him. We are precious to him. Remind ourselves how important we are to God. That's why we can glow. That's why we can have a good attitude. That's why we can be upbeat. And that's why we don't have to be discouraged. We can glow because of what God has done for us and how important we are to God. I try to remind my wife how important she is to me. I think it's a good habit. And I think for men, it's a good habit to remind our wives how important they are to us. So I start with the alphabets. And I start to think about the alphabets and some certain words that can describe her. So I start with the letter A. She's amazing. I start with the letter B. She's beautiful. I go to the letter C. I'm thankful she can cook. Amen. Amen. Right? I just try to remind how important she is to me. I'm thankful for the letter D. She is able to drive a car. Amen. All right, drive a car. Now, you have to understand, if you've seen an Asian lady drive a car, it's dangerous. And you know what I mean. All right? And I'm just being honest with you. And now let me pause here. Let me help you. Let me try to make an excuse for Asians driving a vehicle. Let me just make an excuse. I'll hit pause here. The reason why they may drive, I could say, dangerously, is because in Asia, when you see yellow, it doesn't mean slow down and stop. It means to go. So you see yellow, you're supposed to gun it. So they see yellow, they're going. They're not slowing down and stopping. That's why they do that. Then the second reason is in Asia, Hong Kong, pedestrians do not have the right of way. Vehicles have the right of way. So you're here, maybe there's no light, four-way stop sign, and you see someone crossing. As a vehicle, I'm driving right through. I don't want them to cross because I have to wait for them. That's the mentality. So you have to understand there's a different culture to driving. So I'm thankful. That's just an excuse. All right? I try to make an excuse, all right? But I'm thankful that my wife can drive. So I try to remind myself. I think of the letter E, she's elegant. I think of the letter F, she's faithful. Faithful to God. Faithful to me. So I'm thinking amazing and a beautiful cook, knows how to drive, and elegant and faithful. I think of the letter G, godly. close to God. I think of the letter H, heavenly. I get to the letter I, I'm starting to run out. And I said, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Here's what I want to say. We remind ourselves how important someone is to us. I believe that's a good thing to do. But let's remind ourselves how important we are to God. God loves you. God died for you. God is in control of your life. He's sovereign. That's why we can glow. Others ought to see Christ in your life and my life by our outward appearance. True and authentic believer, not a counterfeit. We have a desire to grow. We have that glow in our lives. There's a lady you'll see a little bit later on the video. Second lady that was interviewed, new Christian, saved and baptized within these last 2 years. And she has 3 kids. The youngest is about 2-year-old, the boy, young son. That young son has never saw his father before. About 6.5 months, 7 months pregnant, about to give birth, that father took all the money in the bank account, took the rent money, and just left. Didn't say a word. That young mother with her 2 older daughters got evicted. The landlord just came and said, hey, you haven't paid rent for 2 months. He said, we gave rent. My husband paid it. My husband never paid it. He's been missing ever since. This lady came to church, and that was her problem. Now, I don't know about you, preacher. We don't hand out money. We try to be a blessing, give her some things that she needs, and we help her there, with meals and certain things, pray for her. She came to church with that type of a background. She got saved. She came to church, continued to come to church. She got baptized, continued to come to church, went through our discipleship. She's been faithful in our church. Now, she has her struggles, and she will continue to have her struggles, but she has never blamed God for what has happened. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that on her Facebook account, she gives out verses and talks about how good God is, even through those difficulties in life. I look at a believer like that, glowing, mature, authentic, true. They grow, have a desire to grow. They glow. Last one I want to give you. Look at verse number 5, please. He says, the Bible says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, notice this verse there, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. A true believer, an authentic one, willing to give. Amen. They're willing to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. When we think about that word giving, many of us, we get a little worried. Pastor or missionary, giving, you're talking about money. We get a little worried. Can I say that? I'm not talking about money. I don't want to talk about money. That's for a pastor to do, not for me. What I want to encourage us, when it comes to giving, more important to giving is not the more important to giving your money is giving your lives. It's not the amount. It's the sacrifice. Mark chapter 14 talks about a widow woman. She broke that alabaster box of ointment, that perfume, anointed to Jesus. And people talked about her. They murmured. They said, why did you do that? You could have given that money to the poor. They said it was 300 pence at that time. They say that about a year's salary. Some people estimate in our day today, in our economy, maybe $10,000 today. Why did you waste that? Jesus, remember, Mark chapter 14, remember her and what she did. Make it a memorial. She did the best she can. It wasn't the amount. It was the sacrifice. I think about giving today. Your church has sacrificed to put missionaries like us and other missionaries onto the field. You sacrifice. And what I want to say, it's not the amount, but it is that sacrifice that you're willing to give. You're willing to do that because of that sacrifice. What God expects from a believer, a mature one, who's willing to sacrifice, not just the money, but it's your time. It's the talent that you have that God's given to you. You use it for God. You're willing to give that back to God. I can give you a testimony. When I when God called me into Bible school, I finished. I had one more semester left before finishing business school, and I felt God called me into the ministry. And one of the biggest challenge of finishing school and then going into Bible school is, number one, you had no money, and then no more money left. And I told the Lord, if you would provide, I'm willing to follow. And I enrolled in Bible school, and somebody gave me a check for $1,000, paid my first semester. Praise the Lord for that. And I've seen God provide all these years. Every need that we had, God has always provided. When God called us onto the mission field, my first answer was no. I tried to run. I mentioned earlier, I tried to run. No. I said, why would you want me to go to Hong Kong? My excuse to God. I said, my family came from there. They came to America for the American dream. Own a home, own two cars, have a good job, have the children that are born here, first generation Americans born here, go to school. And the dream was for me to make a lot of money, take care of my family. They sacrificed to come over here so that I can have this opportunity. I cannot go to Hong Kong and disappoint my family. My mom was born there. My dad from China went to Hong Kong, immigrated over here over 40 plus 50 years ago. I cannot go back to Hong Kong. It'd be very, very difficult. They would be very, very disappointed. And I thought to myself, this is my life. I can't give it back to God, but I was foolish to think like that. Because the life that I have is not my life. It's God-given. It's because of grace of God. We have to be willing to give it back to God that is acceptable to Him. That's what a true, authentic believer is. You'll understand what God did for us and what we give back to Him is really not a sacrifice. It is a great opportunity for Him to use our lives. It's a privilege. Can I finish with this example? Many years ago, there was a senior citizen lady. She came out of the supermarket, and she was pushing her cart to her vehicle, and she saw four young people, teenagers, just outside of her vehicle. And some of them, you know, the teenagers nowadays, they had the beanie. they had the pants not pulled up very high, and just hanging out there. They had their music. They're listening. And she said, Lord, what are they doing by my vehicle? And she said, I don't know. I'm just an old lady. I got groceries. I don't know what will I do. I don't know what will I say. I don't know what can I do. You know, what will happen? So she pushed her cart. As she got closer, she put her groceries there and consolidated all into one bag. And she opened up her purse and she pulled out a pistol. Get away from my vehicle. Those four young people see a lady with a pistol. They just took off. She put that pistol back in her purse, zipped it up, praised the Lord, took out her car keys, tried to get in her car, but would not open. She's thinking, man, I'm just flustered. I'm just nervous. Let me try again. She could not open. Tried again, could not open. Looked at the license plate. Wrong vehicle. Oh, my goodness. Wrong vehicle. And she's thinking, now that I pulled out a pistol and I told these four young people to leave, and I'm a car theft. I just stole somebody. We call it a carjacking, right? I'm one of those. I'm not the victim, right? I am the carjacker. I did that. So I'm in trouble. So she looked around. She gets back in her vehicle, and she says, I gotta report this to the police. I'm guilty. I done something wrong. So she goes to the police station and tells them exactly what happened. I saw four young people. They're hanging about my car. I thought it was my car, and it pulled out the pistol, and they got nervous. They ran off, and the police officer, taking down the report, just started laughing, just laughing. And she said, you know, this is serious, right? This is a crime that I committed. And he was just laughing. And she said, Officer, why are you laughing? Officer pointed down the next window, the next door. Four young people reporting a carjacking by a senior citizen lady. Just started laughing. Now, no charges were filed, and it was just a big misunderstanding. She thought it was her car and just made a big mistake. And here's what I want to say. Many times we make the same mistake. It's my life. It's my future. It's my money. It's my time. I cannot give to God. It's a misunderstanding. It's not yours. The life that you have is God-given. Let's be willing to allow Him to use our lives, our finances, our future. Whatever God asks, be willing to let Him use it. That's the difference between one that is real and true and authentic than one that is a knockoff. It's mine. I'm not giving it to you. But one that is true and authentic. Lord, use me. Whatever I can do for the glory of God, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to give of my time, my talents, my life, because I'm willing to be used of you. Let's remember growing and glowing and giving. Let's close in prayer, and I'll have Pastor come. Father, we thank you for just a brief time to study your word. And Lord, I pray that something was said today that would encourage us. And Lord, help us to just understand that our lives are yours. And help us to be willing to yield ourselves to you. We thank you for this time now, and we'll give this time to Pastor.
Go ahead and stand together and take a break in between services. And you might have a question or two for Elaine.